And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 10th of June. How are you all keeping? I really do hope you're very well indeed. And it's a fresh enough day across the Northwest, bright, a bit breezy, but going to get warm as the week progresses. And we're going to keep you occupied, hopefully, for the next 3 hours and entertained as well. We have our lines right open for you right now. So whatever we talk about throughout the course of the morning, if you've got a view, an opinion that pops into your head, share it with the people of the wider Northwest and the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that listen or watch across the world. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. If you are outside the Republic, 00453 386 60 25000. We still love to get your calls, of course, 07491 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. If you're listening to the podcast or the overnight repeat, feel free to email. We'll pick up your comments or whatever you want to talk about and carry it into the next live show. And if you want to watch the program, of course you can do so. If you're at home, work from home, or work in the home, it's we're on YouTube, on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, and we're also on Facebook and the X platform as well. Lots of coverage in the papers, but you're also hearing on the news about this move on rent caps. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: the Cabinet is set to rubber stamp controversial plans to make sweeping changes to rent pressure zones that the opposition, academics and homeless groups insist will fuel evictions. Under the proposals, rents for newly built properties will be capped in line with inflation and not at the current 2% limits. Landlords would also be permitted to reset rents to market rates when a tenancy ends, leading to concerns that this will incentivize the ending of tenancy. So my son's coming back from Australia, I need the house. 3 months later, you see it on Daft, that kind of stuff. At present, 82% of tenancies are covered by rent pressure zones, but this will be extended to cover the entire country. So effectively, all rental property in Donegal and beyond will be under rent pressure zones. However, the Coalition agreed last night that under the new rules, landlords will be able to reset a rent only if their tenant voluntarily leaves. Where a notice to quit is served to a tenant, the landlord can't reset the rent, seeking to remove any economic incentive for landlords to evict their tenants. Those in existing tenancies will continue to have their rent capped at 2% annually. Government sources last night stressed that there would be measures to include stronger tenancy protection and provide greater security of tenure. There was also agreement to categorise landlords according to the number of properties owned. Currently, all landlords are treated the same, regardless of how many properties they own. From mom and pop landlords with one additional property to far larger operations. Smaller landlords will now be categorised, it is understood, as three or fewer. However, the significance of this new categorisation was unclear last night. The leaders were due to also agree changes to the remit of the Land Development Agency. So it remains to be seen what this will actually mean for renters out there. We'll try and get some comments and views and tease that a little bit more. I just wonder if, you know, whilst this might offer some protection to those who are currently renting, you know, if new rental properties come to market, does that mean the price of those is going to be driven up? So in other words, you're never going to get your 25-year-old to move out of the house because they simply might not be able to afford a new rent. We'll have to see. I don't know enough about it to suppose too much, but we certainly will be speaking to those that do either today or in the days ahead to find out what that means for you, because it affects the majority of us out there. And people are under pressure. Lots of people are under pressure. And it's highlighted in the Irish Independent today. 102,977 children are living in poverty. That's remarkable, isn't it? There's been a massive rise in the number of children in consistent poverty, with calls for the government to urgently address the situation. A Children's Rights Alliance report shows the number of children in consistent poverty has risen to more than 100,000, nearly twice the previous mark, while the figure for homeless children has also increased to nearly 5,000. The group has called on the government to invest in solutions that address intergenerational poverty, such as resourcing early year support, proven to be effective. cost of living relief, increasing budget allocations to Tusla and tackling overcrowding as a result of the housing crises. There's been more referrals to Tusla in line with this increase in children in consistent poverty. And, you know, the resources are there. There are opportunities. The government could do targeted supports for families that genuinely need them. You know, we have a lot. We have in the past had a lot of universal supports for families, but you certainly could target those most in need. 102,000 children. It's 103,000 effectively living in consistent poverty. What's deeply concerning is the number of children in consistent poverty who are living in these conditions perpetually. That's forever, which rose by a staggering 45,000. That's Tanya Ward's comments. She's the chief executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Policy decisions and budget investment determine the fate of these children and young people. So what she's saying effectively, and I'm not saying it, is budget measures over recent years has driven a 100% increase in children living in consistent poverty. So I'll be joined on the programme a little later on by Tanya Ward. And I just really would like her to describe exactly, you know, what living in consistent poverty is like. What does it mean for the children? What does it mean for their families? Maybe that's something resonates with you. Maybe you feel you're living in consistent poverty with no way out or, you know, no... Well, choosing that you can only eat meat once or twice a week, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, heating or eating. Thankfully, it's a bit milder at the moment, but people are having to make those decisions. We talked last week or the week before about period poverty, and people go, I think people don't really think that exists. But where you might have a mum who's choosing not to purchase quite expensive period products for herself because it's the difference between the kids having chicken that night or not. You know, people, lots and lots of people, live their lives like that. And it doesn't have to be like that, I don't think. 0860 25,000 if you have a comment in relation to that. The Taoiseach in the Irish Times, he has praised Madleen volunteers for their Gaza effort. The international group of volunteers detained by Israel on board the Freedom Flotilla coalition vessel, the Madleen, has been praised by Taoiseach Simon Harris for highlighting the urgent need for humanitarian aid to get into Gaza. Is that how you would frame it? Do you think that's what Greta Thunberg and her colleagues' motivation is? Well, he said it should not fall to any small group of civilians to get aid into Gaza, Mr. Harris said yesterday, as the Madleen and its 12-strong crew were being brought to Israel port of Ashdod. Now, I hope I'm not being sort of fed misinformation, but I did see Miss Thornburg being given a sandwich, which she seemed to have accepted from an IDF soldier. I mean, if she's that passionate about what they're doing to the people of Gaza, you would throw that back in their face, wouldn't you? But anyway, the question we should be asking today, says the Taoiseach, is not a debate about the merits or not of the flotilla, but how it's come to this, that the world is turning a blind eye to starving children in Gaza. Ireland has consistently called on Israel to lift its blockade and allow unimpeded access of humanitarian aid at scale into Gaza in accordance with international law and humanitarian principles. The crew includes French, Spanish, Dutch and Swedish nationals, as well as Greta Thunberg. The thing about it is they claimed that they were kidnapped by Israeli forces. Now, they were well-resourced and well-fed on that flotilla. I'm not against it for a second because it does start the conversation. But I think, you know, particularly in the context of what's happening in Gaza, and as well, too, the fact that a large number of Israelis and international people still remained kidnapped in Gaza in the worst conditions, I think for them to describe their situation as a kidnapping, given where they are, it seemed a little bit insensitive to me, and maybe a little bit more about themselves than the plight of everyone terribly affected by what's going on over there, but not least, of course, and to the great extent, the millions that are being starved. I posted a video actually up on my social media on my own page of, I saw a video of people just chilling out in Tel Aviv, and it's absolutely beautiful. They're all sort of, you know, along the coast. It's your sort of typical holiday feel, you know, that holiday buzz. There's music and, you know, flames and chatter and the clinking of glasses and music, and everyone just seems so happy. And it was only until I got Google out, I just wanted to know how close and its closest point is Tel Aviv from Gaza. Now, if you want to go there by road, it can take quite some time. It's 70 kilometres from Tel Aviv to Gaza. And I just was watching on it this video, and that's why I felt I had to share it, of people just happy out, just in heaven. I mean, that's the only way you could describe it. Have a look. It's on my page, Grey Hughes, just in heaven. And yet, 70 kilometres away, a country is absolutely destroyed. People have been herded into the southernmost part of that country, and they're being shot trying to get rice for their kids. You know, it's unbelievable how people are living their lives so differently within 70 kilometres. And the people that govern those people enjoying Tel Aviv are the people responsible for what's happening in Gaza, albeit after the terrible, terrible events of October 7th, 23, which should never, ever have happened. And there should be no hostages being held in Gaza. They should be free to return to their families. But it's just this split in the world. It's unimaginable, actually. To be honest with you, like, I was shocked and horrified by it, but it actually also doesn't seem real. You wouldn't believe that people would be capable of such. The Irish Sun, a sicko, as is described in the paper, who shared child abuse images, will be freed from prison this month. Kevin Raggett, who's 22, is one of 14 sex fiends who will walk free in June. The paper reveals he will be released from Dublin's Mountjoy prison in 2 weeks' time. He's of Limerick, and he'll walk out of the slammer just 8 months after he received a 22-month sentence for possessing and distributing 455 videos and images of children being abused. 455 images of children and videos of children being abused. And he's going to walk out of the prison in 8 months, having been given a 22-month sentence. During his time in prison, he's maintained a low profile and is being released early as part of a push to tackle overcrowding. So why are we... Why is it these people that are getting out early? What kind of a message does that send? That you can be complicit in the abuse of 455 children and you get out after 8 months because the prisons are overcrowded. How is that possible? What kind of a message does that send? Between suspended sentences and, you know, soft enforcement of sentences, do we really care about our children at all and what they're going through? Well, following his release, Raggett will be put on the sex offenders register until May 2024. But still... 8 months for what he's been part of. And make no mistake about it, you watch, you share those videos, you are part of the abuse of the children in them. That just doesn't seem right at all to me. Angada Síochána has now the largest fleet of vehicles in its history, as well as new technology systems, following what's been described as the biggest shake-up in the force ever. This is in the Irish Daily Mirror. I just would be very interested to know what Donegal Gardaí think about this when they look at their vehicles, their high-mileage vehicles, some vehicles that aren't actually even functioning. Angada Síochána has now the largest fleet of vehicles in its history. Maybe the problems in Donegal have been resolved. Well, following a transformation process that started in 2018, an information-led policing approach has seen the issue of 15,000 mobility devices that minimise the time it takes to retrieve information. A lot of them are handheld, by the way. Officers are piloting 700 body-worn camera vehicles, while vehicle numbers have risen to 3,672, including new specialist vehicles such as two water cannons. Can you imagine we need water cannons in this country now, or do we? Along with public order and community engagement vans. But apparently it's the best equipped the Gardaí has ever been. And I just wonder, does every guard around this county and country feel that that's the case? All right, that's your newspapers for this morning. And we're joined on the programme now by James Sexton. James, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Now, you are part of End Discrimination in Inheritance Tax for Childless Citizens, Edit for Childless Citizens. So what's going on? What's the problem that needs to be addressed in your view, James?
I'm phoning from Cork, and as you said, I'm part of a small campaign group called EDIT, which stands for End Discrimination Inheritance Tax for Childless Adults. And the situation at the moment is that our inheritance tax rules mean that all childless citizens are treated differently, are discriminated against compared to parents. That's the nub of the green.
Yeah, and there's a big difference, isn't there, between the tax on transferring assets to your children versus presumably, you know, maybe a nephew, a niece or someone you're not related to?
Absolutely.
So yeah. What are the differences? So,
maybe if I just explain my own situation. I'm married to Sheila and we met and married a little later in our lives, in our 40s. And we weren't unable to have a family of our own, but we do have a family of loved ones who are a very important part of our lives. But when we got married, obviously we were advised to make our own individual wills. And it was then we discovered that the inheritance tax legislation treats parents very differently to childless citizens. So in our case, we're able to pass tax-free assets only up to $40,000 to each of our loved ones. We are not able to pass tax-free the same amount of assets as parents can. Parents can pass assets up to $400,000 tax-free to each of their children, whereas, as I said, myself and Sheila, we're only permitted to pass assets up to $40,000 to each of our loved ones. Now, that's 10 times less. And that is discriminatory, and it is inequitable, and we feel that that needs to change.
Yeah, now, you're not looking for any reductions in you know, couples with children. You're just looking for equity. No. You and Sheila, your circumstances are such that your assets will be distributed to your loved ones. You just want it to be fair then.
Absolutely. We're definitely 100% not advocating for anything to be removed from parents and their children. But as you say, we are just advocating for equality and an end to the discrimination that's faced by all childless citizens. Now, we're talking about over 1 million childless citizens in this country. Ireland actually has the third highest rate of childlessness in the developed world at 18.7%. That figure was actually taken from 2014. Obviously, it will have increased over the last decade. So this obviously impacts on tens of thousands of childless citizens in every constituency up and down the country. It's also an issue actually that affects parents themselves as well. Not only, obviously, they will have family members, friends and colleagues who are childless, but even parents who have children, they may have elderly relatives, uncles or aunts who are childless. And, you know, in the future, those their elderly uncles or aunts who may wish to pass on their assets to their nephews or nieces, they will be affected because they will only be able to inherit up to $40,000. And they will have to, very often, if it's a house, perhaps, the house will have to be sold to pay the tax, which will be due on anything above $40,000 within 12 months. And obviously, it very much affects, obviously, childless citizens in particular, obviously.
Yeah. Now, as it stands, even, you know, I'll just use me as an example. Say I'm married with children. I might want to distribute my assets outside of my children, you know, maybe a godchild or nephews and nieces. I would still face the same tax as you might, James. Do you, in that instance, do you believe the entire inheritance tax system needs overhauling, or is this a special measure that you think could apply only to childless couples? Sorry for the convoluted question, but, you know, it might affect far more than just yourself and Sheila, for an example.
Well, we think that obviously that's a decision for the government. You know, obviously the government has to decide the rules, but the rules have to be fair. They have to be equal for all citizens. You know, our constitution states, clause 40.1 of our constitution states that refers to equality before the law for all citizens. And it states that the state must not unjustly, unreasonably or arbitrarily discriminate between individuals. But that is exactly what is happening, simply because of a person's childless status. Now, we have equal status acts enshrined in our constitution as well. Obviously, the current legislation, the inheritance tax legislation, came into effect in 1991, and we don't believe that legislation has been reviewed at all in light of obviously the Equality Acts in recent years, and certainly in response to the Equal Status Act.
Okay, James, how has it been received so far? I know you do have the ear of one or two TDs, but have you had an opportunity to sort of gauge the mood of government in relation to this?
Absolutely. No, we've spent the last 12 months, as I say, part of a small campaign group, and I'd like to mention maybe some of my other fellow campaigners, a more determined bunch you will never find. A couple of weeks ago, we were invited by Catherine Arda to give a presentation in the Doyle's AV room, in audiovisual room in Dublin. And that was very, very well attended by politicians, by the Department of Finance. So we do know there are things going on behind the scenes. We know that obviously the legislation is being looked at as part of the tax strategy group papers. But obviously we have to keep exerting that pressure because unfortunately so many childless citizens just are not aware of what is coming down the track for them into the future.
James, listen,
obviously the pressure has to be maintained.
Thank you very much for that. James Sexton, Edit for Childless Citizens, End Discrimination in Inheritance Tax. If that's something that you've a view on or affects you, please do let us know. Interesting comment coming in from a listener here, and it reads as follows. I have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. What is the law around the age of leaving them at home alone for the summer? They are currently well-behaved children. Now, this is tricky because there's no fast and set situation here. There's no legal defined age to leave a child at home alone. There is guidance. The 13-year-old, if they're responsible, the kind of guidance is that they should not be left alone overnight. But the guidance, as I say, if you believe that they are fit to be trusted, etc., possibly could be okay. The 9-year-old, well, there's no real, that I could find, there's no real guidance in terms of a 13-year-old providing some level of care for a 9-year-old. Now, children under 12 say you can leave them at home alone if you wish, but the guidance seems to be that you don't leave them home alone for long periods of time. But as I say, the listener says that their children are very well behaved. There's no law against leaving them at home alone. But I can understand where they're coming from. You know, is this the summer really whereby they can get to work and leave the children, obviously checking in with them and all, leave the children to their own care at home? 13 and 9. What do you think? Would you have any advice for that listener if you have any experience? I know it's kind of a dodgy one because, you know, people might quite rightly know what's right for them but are afraid of being judged by others. But we don't judge here. You can text us in, that's fine, anonymously. So just to read the question again, I have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. What's the law around the age of leaving them at home alone for the summer? They are usually well-behaved children. There is no law, but you know, you could have a nosy neighbour, and I don't mean that badly, or you could have a relative that doesn't agree with you and they could ring Tusla, and Tusla would be compelled to go in and look at the situation, and it could get to be a bit of a handling. As I say, you're not going to be criminally liable, but, you know, is that a road that you'd want to go down? Or maybe it wouldn't happen. I don't know. Please, though, let me know what you think. 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or instead give us a call on 074 91 25000. Quick comment before the break. Greg, I recently stopped at the bus stop beside where Oatfields factory used to be in Letterkenny. You'll know where that is. I was in the car and I noticed a fella sitting on the wall with a bag. Then I noticed a number of people come along shaking hands with him. It took me some time to realise he was in fact passing drugs to them. How is this allowed in broad daylight? Clearly he had no fear of being caught. As a parent, it concerned me more about the amount getting them than him selling them. Right. I think what the caller's describing is that sort of, you know, you've seen it in the films or maybe in real life, you know, you shake hands and money's passed off from one hand and presumably they're implying drugs to the other. But apparently this person was doing it sitting on a wall right in broad daylight, a high traffic area. Have you seen it? Is it possible? I'm not doubting the listener, but maybe the fellow was really well known too. I don't know. What do you think? 086 60 25000. Are people that brazen now? Now, Marie is part of a group of concerned people walking across the desert to raise awareness of Gaza. Marie joins us now. Marie, thanks for chatting to me today.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Right, Marie, firstly, Donegal will be represented. You'll be carrying the Donegal flag. You have connections to the county?
Well, my husband, Mickey, his family's from Kilcar and Teelan is his grandmother. So there's a big connection with my husband's family. And we had a house in Donegal for about 25 years down there in KJ. And my daughter, her partner, he's from Dunlow. My husband played in Oney's Bar in Dunlow for 20 years with the Irish Brigade. And I have very, very close friends in Gidor. And also my children, they all go to the Irish school. So they all went to the Dunlewy Gaeltacht. So the family have been 50% in Belfast and 50% in Donegal all our lives. I'd be carrying a wee Donegal flag, a wee Tyrone flag for Mickey, and a wee Antrim flag for myself, and a wee Irish flag. So four little flags to carry with me as I'm walking across the desert.
Right, so talk to me about, you know, I suppose the start point, the journey itself and what you hope to achieve.
Well, we'll all be meeting in Cairo at the weekend, and we hope to get to El Arish and from there go across the Sinai Desert. It might take a night or two, so we'll do so much as far as the group can walk, and then we hope to do it over 2 days, and then we'll be camping at the walls of Rafah for a couple of days, for 5 or 6 days, and then we'll be returning to Cairo. It's a very peaceful protest. We are not planning to storm the walls like the Parisians at the Bastille. We are just a peaceful march, but it has got to the situation now in Gaza where 2 million people in that small area are being starved to death and being brutalized by bombs and bullets. So I think a lot of us feel that we've done everything that we can in Ireland. We've marched, we've protested, we've done everything we can, and we just feel like this is what we have to do now, is actually go to the very walls and say, please, stop killing men, women and children. Please stop starving them. Please let the food in and show humanity. We want to see the food go in. We want to see the IDF removed from every inch of territory. And we want the rebuilding of Gaza and permission, and not even permission, the right for the people of Palestine to stay there and to build their nation and to build a nation state. That would be our beliefs and the right thing for world peace, because international law break has been broken on every level. If it's broke there, where are our rights? Where are our rights?
And the obviously it's about raising awareness, and you're going to camp outside the gates of the Egyptian authorities. And this is my ignorance, by the way. I'm not being smart. Why would you not sort of the end destination be at a point in Israel or to do with Israel, given the fact that it's Israel that's responsible for what's happening in Gaza?
Well, for one thing, travel to Israel, you know, is very, very restricted. And it's even more restricted to go anywhere near the Gaza border. So Israel are going to be far more about stopping you from going to any of the borders. We believe that the Egyptian authorities will be understanding and let us go there. But this is for the Palestinian people. This is one of the borders that's being closed. This is one of the borders where all the food is queuing up. And this is the one border that we have a good chance of reaching to the very walls of it.
Yeah, I get you, of course. Marie, you recently celebrated a birthday.
Yes.
74, I believe, which I know you don't mind me mentioning. And that the only context for that is, I'm curious, have you always been someone who would be, you know, protest or advocate for other people's rights, or is this something that you've come to later in life? And happy birthday, of course, by
the way.
No,
I come from a very strong political background, and I come from a very staunch Irish Republican background too. So I marched with the civil rights movement when I was 17 and 18 years old. And I marched for the Irish Language Act, I marched against internment, I marched for the hunger strikers, I marched for releasing prisoners whenever the ETA ceasefire began. I've just believed in justice and freedom. I always stand on the Irish Proclamation, the right of the people to the ownership of Ireland or any other country, the unfettered control of our destinies. So I've always been a political activist and I've marched all my life. And I've always marched in the belief that we can create a better society, that to march and to protest, if you believe something deep in your heart is wrong, you have to fight for your future generations. You can't just let injustice prevail.
And Marie, how is there any danger in this exercise? I don't know. Are the Turkish authorities aware, or will they be providing any cover? I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be a relatively small group of people walking through the desert overnight. You know, like, have you any concerns in that regard? Or maybe you're not concerned, but still a threat. You know, a threat remains. What is the security situation for this group?
To be really honest, we absolutely don't know. The Egyptian Authority haven't really been that much in contact. They haven't said yes, they haven't said no. So we don't know. To be honest, Greg, we absolutely don't know. We're going to go there. We don't know how far they'll let us go. We don't know whether they'll try and stop us. We don't know if they'll protect us. We don't know if they'll be angry at us for being there. We're really marching into the unknown, if I'm being as far as I can see anyway. I think we're kind of marching into the unknown, but it's something that the Irish people have always been so staunchly with the Palestinian people because of our own history and the fact of the starvation where there's food. Our nation lost millions through starvation because food was brought out of the country. This is a nation that is dying of starvation because the colonisers won't let food into the country. But we know, we see it, we understand it. So we don't know what the danger is. And to be honest, I don't think any of us care. We'll face what comes, but we'll face it with dignity and with pride.
All right then, Marie. And well, listen.
We just hope that the Palestinian people hear our voices.
Yeah, of course. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Marie, stay safe. Thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much for the interview.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Marie there. She's a part of a group of concerned people walking across the desert to raise awareness of Gaza. They are going to leave on Friday and walk across the desert. Walking should take about 3 days, and they are going to then take up camp outside the gates of the Egyptian authorities. Not that they say, and they say they have no issue with the Egyptian authorities as such, but they hope that the Egyptian authorities allow them that peaceful protest. There you go, 086 60 25,000. On a lighter note, yesterday I lost my wallet in the car park in Ballybuffet. I called Highland Radio and put on a notice to say it was lost. Within the hour, a lady called to say it was found. A lady called Maggie in Drumkeen found it and went to a lot of trouble to get it back to me. She met me last night and returned it. I'm very grateful. I had a large amount of money in to pay a bill. Great to see honesty is alive and well. That comes in from Michael. Very good indeed, Michael. We are good. You know, we shouldn't forget that. We're good people for the most part. Good morning, Greg. Maybe Greta Thunberg didn't throw a sandwich back at someone because the people on the boat were making a peaceful protest. I take exactly what you're saying. I grow up, Greg, sounding like one of those sad sack old men from 10 years ago when she first popped up. The way you're talking about this, the wee doll has been a complete consistent campaigner throughout her life. A bit nasty for you to insinuate ulterior motives to it. Note that the flotilla was still in international waters when lifted. Israel has a track record for committing piracy and kidnapping, and we keep letting them do it. It's an absolute joke. I take your point of view. Thank you. Hi, Greg. Israel is holding 10,000 Palestinian hostages and has murdered and tortured to death some of them and starved other Palestinian hostages to death. And there is not a word about these 10,000 Palestinians. What we have here is the Israelis considering themselves to be the new master race who can wage genocide without consequences and are following in the footsteps of the Nazis. Well, let me be very clear. I'm in no way supporting or backing Israel, just in case that's just in case that came across in any way, shape or form. This move will greatly benefit all. This is the changes to rent controls. This move will greatly benefit all of the many politicians and political landlords, as if they haven't already made fortunes from cramming refugees into their accommodation. Another, what do rent pressure zones mean for people like me? I have a house rented out. I charge $650 a month as I have a good tenant. There's no bother with her, and I know it's probably all that she can afford. Does that mean that I have to put my rent up to €1,500 in case she moves out and I can't put the price up for another tenant? It's a very specific question. If she moves out, if she moves out, you can do whatever you like, as far as I'm aware. Your next charge would not be the $650 that you're charging now. It would be based on market prices and what have you. I think what the limit would be is if you evicted her, how much you could charge from there. But my understanding of the brief read I've had of it is if that she left of her own will, then you could charge the market rate, which would probably be anywhere between, you know, 11 and 1600 euro. She's good to have a good landlord as well as you having a good tenant, no doubt about that. Hi, Greg. The cars that diff all night and are rallying about the place, disturbing everyone. These guys sleep themselves. I read this one yesterday, actually, in their own families. What they suggested is we make recordings and go round to their house and do the same. All right, we've been talking about acts of kindness, you know, and we do see an awful lot of that. Is it something we're missing? Is it something that not we're missing, though, but something that we're losing? DJ Osh Bosh joins me on the program now. Good morning, Osh. How are you getting on?
Great, Harry. Thanks for having me on.
It's good. No, it's great to have you with us. Okay. You know, we were speaking a little earlier on about a wonderful act of kindness, and we do see it. But I did pose the question before the break, are we in any way losing it? So talk to me about your experience recently.
Yeah, so just Saturday afternoon, you can just imagine it. Busy in Letterkenny. And I was just on the way down low. And I just came up from off myself and come up to Dry Arch Roundabout. And it was a 1998 Toyota Jeep, and it was pulled in the middle of the roundabout, just pulled up, and it had obviously broken down. And I just seen it, I was heading up, and I was like, geez, I must help him out. So it was an elderly man, and he's by himself, and he didn't even have the hazard lights on. So I was like, Jesus, you know, what's going on here? So I just pulled up the road and then went back, you know, and then tried to help him out. So I just went back and pushed the Jeep up the hill out of the way, you know, just out of the way for him. And I asked him, and I says, you know, how long have you been waiting there? And he says, 20 minutes. So I just couldn't believe that. So he sat there for 20 minutes and no one thought to care to stop and see if he was okay or help him out at least or whatever. And it just, honest to God, when it happened to me, I just thought of it more, and I thought, Jesus, is this the way we're really going and so on? Do people just not really care about anyone else apart from themselves anymore, you know? So when I posted the video, I didn't really want to gloat about it. I just wanted to kind of highlight it, that like society is kind of changing so much and it's all kind of me, and that just shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, you don't want to sound like you're blowing your own trumpet, but you want to get the conversation out there. It was very clear this guy was in trouble, do you think?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think he had either engine blown or whatever and so on. And, you know, he was so disorientated, like, you know. He said he was from Mount Charles, and he was, I'd say, I didn't put the guess on him, 70 or 80 anyway, but he was disorientated. He didn't know what to do, and he was actually standing in front of the Jeep itself. So, you know, if had something happen where someone had hit him from behind, you know, he would have been hit and so on. So it wasn't a very good situation for the poor man to be in, but I was glad I was able to help him in a way, you know.
Yeah, it must have been awful for him, because you're standing there for that amount of time, you know, you're wondering how you're going to move the car, you're wondering if someone's going to hit you. It's just like, it's just a horrible situation that any of us would want to find ourselves in, Osh.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I know he did say he was ringing for help, but I mean, it's more the fact that he stood there, you know, on the roundabout on a busy Saturday afternoon, you know, for 20 minutes, and no one even thought to try and help him, you know, and even push the Jeep, you know. So it's just it's a bit of a strange one, you know. It's just, I don't know, is it a case of, you know, people are just, you know, caring about themselves, and, you know, are they just thinking to themselves, oh, I don't really care about anyone else, you know? It's just, it's, you know, I'm going about my day and not caring about whatever, you know, whatever else people are doing.
Like, and the question you're kind of asking is, I mean, maybe people are presuming someone else will do it. You're saying don't presume someone else might do it. Let's not lose that. Let's not lose that part of our great community that we've always had.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, you know, you never know. Like, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, if I hadn't come along, you never know how long he would be waiting for, you know. So, you know, my kind of idea of the video and so on was for society to do better, you know, and to think more before, you know, think more about situations and so on, because you never know when you could actually be a helping hand.
Well, when it's you never know when it could be you either, do you? All right, brilliant stuff. Listen, I'm sure he's really pleased, and maybe even those close to him are delighted that someone like yourself stepped up to the plate there. So well done, Tiosh. Before I let you go, I know you're involved in a fundraiser, and it's an important one. It's for Foyle Search and Rescue, and also a charity we've worked in the past with also, and that's Huey's Corner. So what are you up to?
Yeah, so as you may know, Greg, I do a bit of DJing. So,
I heard that, all right.
So every year I do a 12-hour DJ marathon, and I stream it live on TikTok, which is one of my biggest kind of platforms and so on. And I do it actually just up beside yourselves there in Falthill Studios. So big shout out to Tommy over there for helping out with that. But so what we do is we go live streaming on TikTok for 12 hours straight, and we do a charity every year. Last year we did it for two local boys in Muff who had cancer, and unfortunately one of them passed away. So I was unfortunate, and it's very, very sad. But this year our two the two charities that we're doing is, as you mentioned, Foyle Search and Rescue, which is I'm obviously close to Derry and so on. You can see the impact that, you know, the Foyle Search and Rescue have on the city and so on. That they're fantastic. You see them out Saturday nights, Friday nights and so on, you know, doing the work and walking the keys and so on. And then you also have Hughes Corner then, who are a great service for, you know, adolescents and so on, and loss of a young one. So what we're doing is, yeah, literally I'm going to have like all the updates and so on, and the whole release that'll be on Tuesday the 22nd of July. So it'll be streamed on TikTok, and we're looking for businesses to sponsor prizes if they can to our giveaway and so on, which is also a great way of running up some interest and run up donations and so on.
Yeah.
So there'll be a GoFundMe link as well, which will be all on my page. So you can just get me on online at Oshbosh, OISBOSH, if you're looking for me there.
Yeah, come in. How's that? That's brilliant stuff. Well done to you and all involved in that. The career's going well at all, very well for you too, because, you know, it's not just, you know, beat matching and playing records and stuff that you're at, right? You know, you're really, your reputation is really growing as a DJ producer. You know, you're putting your own music out there. What's the release schedule like? How's things going for you?
Yeah, it's absolutely hectic. I can't get a break at the minute. I'm doing so many miles. I'm honest to God, I'm up and down the country nearly every weekend. So it's great. It's great to get the name out there and so on. And it's really going to, but you asked me where I wanted to be 5 years ago, it would be there, you know. So I'm really, really happy. And I have a new tune out next month as well. So it's about time I release more music. I need to put the head down towards that part of the game, because it's just been so busy, and it's just been DJing, and I need more producing side, you know. So it's all go. I'm looking forward to Alba Fair now in less than a month. So that'll be a great experience once again.
That sounds like it'll be fun. And you know, obviously, you know, you can play your own music at your own gigs, but it's about airplay as well. And I know you've got some really high profile airplay in the last couple of years, but that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's that one track that drops hard, and next thing you know, people start discovering, you know, your back catalogue, what's coming up. It's just waiting for that one that really, you know, gets you through into the stratosphere.
Yeah, exactly. That's the guy. And you can see an example of that with Rebuke there, just in Letterkenny as well. He released that tune, along came Polly, and sure, the rest is history, you know. And the local boys from Oval there, Just Freck as well, you know, they had one tune and then they released a banger after that. And then, you know, they're doing gigs in California and New York and everything. So, yeah, you're just hoping to keep grinding away and then hoping for that one lucky break, you know. So
not that there's anything wrong with Albufeira, But it ain't California.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, listen, well done. Continued success, Osh. Thanks so much for joining us. That is DJ Osh Bosh there, talking in the first instance about coming across an older gentleman at the Dry Arch roundabout. The smoke was coming out through the bonnet of his car. He pulled in to see if it was okay. As it turned out, the gentleman had been there for 20 minutes before Osh stopped. He was obviously distressed, as he would be, and they got the car out of the way. But he's saying, you know, let's not lose who we are here. That being said, it could have just been one of those where lots and lots of people thought someone else was going to do something. But it's not always the case, is it? All right. Coming up after 10, we've got so much coming up on the show, actually. We have Community Garda information and so much more besides. So stay tuned for that. We'll take a quick break for the news and obituary notices.